Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon here on 97.1 FM Talk. It's been a while. It's great to be with you here again on this Tuesday. I mentioned this last segment, but did anyone see Wheel of Fortune last night? I'm a big game show nerd. I'm a sports nerd, a politics nerd, and a game show nerd. I love Wheel of Fortune. I can't do Jeopardy. I think we've talked about this. I'm just not smart enough. But Sue, did you see Will?
Dear. I do not watch any of these shows, so tell me what happened.
So this guy, I feel bad for him because not only did he guess, here was the puzzle was supposed to be give yourself a round of applause. He guessed treat yourself a round of sausage, which didn't even line up. It didn't even line up. But this guy went on to just guess. It was throughout the entire show. And then, so, you know, you feel bad for him, but it's like, okay, it's just us Wheel of Fortune nerds that are watching. This morning, Fox News, AOL, and USA Today all had push alerts on my phone when I woke up of Will's awful round. Like, this poor guy. You know, he probably filmed this a few months ago.
Wait, tell me again what he guessed, because I loved it so much.
So it was supposed to be give yourself a round of applause. He guessed treat yourself a round of sausage.
Oh, I love it so much. Oh, my goodness. And who doesn't want to do that?
No, of course. I mean, right? Come on. You can tell it was recorded in the middle of the summer. But I just felt bad for the poor guy. I mean, it was all over Twitter this morning. It was all these app alerts. And this poor guy, I'm sure he was so embarrassed. But you know what? He did walk away with $8,000.
Hey, that takes the edge off.
He got the final puzzle right. Not the final one because he didn't have enough money for the final. But he got the final, you know, group puzzle before the winner goes and does their puzzle. So
that'd pay for a round of sausage.
Hey, right? Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh.
So I wonder, like, you know, I on my couch can guess these things, but I'm sure with the bright lights and Ryan right. Seacrest there.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's difficult. but while you treat yourself to a round of sausage, let's go to Sue's news.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, gentlemen, it is National Pizza with the Works, except Anchovies Day. Huh?
Yes.
We're leaving those out. Fred, how do you feel about Pizza with the Works?
No anchovies. I'm a no onion or mushroom guy.
Oh, though. See, then you don't like pizza with the word. I like it all, Joe. Give all of it to me.
Yeah, I will. Except for the anchovies, yes. I am down. I think onions are a very underrated pizza topping. But
agreed.
Yeah, as long as you're the type of place that can have a crust that doesn't fold to all of the works, give me all the works.
I'm totally with you. And if it does fold, I may get over it depending on how good it is. But that's yes, true. Yes, no anchovies. I did eat anchovies once. Michael's uncle convinced me that it's just salt in fish form, which is true, but it's still a fish, people. Now, I'll melt it, you know, in a dressing for, what do you call that? Caesar salad. There are anchovies if you make your own dressing, but they melt down. And on pizza, it's just a fish. I say no. And on this day in history, 165 years ago, today, in 1859, Fred, 21-year-old Jules Leotard made his flying trapeze debut in Paris. He is the one who designed and named the Leotard we all know and love.
You know, I never even wondered about that. That's amazing.
I didn't either.
Yeah. Me either.
I'm not sure that's good, but yes, I get it. And on this day in history, okay, 20 years ago, here's the thing. I am not a viewer of horror movies. I'm just not. It's not my thing. But I am super annoyed by Chucky. All right, so let me say this. 20 years ago today, in 2004, the fifth Child's Play movie, Seed of Chucky, was released, featuring Billy Boyd from Lord of the Rings as Chucky's son, Glenn. Because, you know, he has a son. Someone get a baseball bat and take out Chucky. The end! I don't get it! And no. Maybe it's because I haven't watched these films. I'm sure the Chucky lovers are all up in arms about it. Fred, have you ever seen Chucky?
I have not. No.
Joe, have you?
No, that's not my cup of tea.
Yeah, I just take him out. And how does he have a son? Oh, I hate it. Okay. The latest idea from Amazon is out today. And this is really interesting to me. It's rumored to be smart glasses that will allow delivery drivers to see turn-by-turn GPS directions as they travel. Just right up in the corner, it's going to be a little embedded display. Now, the entire purpose of this is to shave, you know, minutes and seconds off of getting your packages that much quicker. Now, apparently the glasses already exist. They're called Echo Frames, and they'll put them on this particular platform. But they say that it's so detailed. Now, this is all a rumor because Amazon has not officially made a statement about this. But they say they're so detailed that if I am an Amazon delivery person and I walk out of an elevator in a major building, it will tell me left or right. Wow. So it's not just on the roads. It's everywhere.
You know, yesterday, since it was a holiday, I was out walking the dog midday.
Yeah.
And I saw an Amazon, one of the new Amazon trucks.
Yeah, they're
stopped
fancy.
On the block where I was walking. Six houses in that block, four got packages.
Dang!
I know, that's like, wow, really.
How much do you get, Joe, of Amazon? Are you people orderers a lot?
So I'm not. My wife... I mean, my son has a new toy, it seems, every other day, and it's, you know, something my wife found on Amazon. Well, I could not get it. It was 60% off. Yeah, when's it ever full price? So we get regular stops. But I was thinking with these glasses, I don't know how I feel. You know, I almost got hit by an Amazon truck yesterday.
Oh.
I don't know if I need something else in there in the way of the road, especially, I mean, these guys are out till 11 o'clock at night delivering packages.
You right. know, you're right about that. I mean, that's surely part of what they're trying to figure out right now, right? And haven't said officially, because you're right. That's got to be distracting.
Yeah. Mm. And you can't hear the Amazon trucks because they're electric.
That's true.
And I saw the Amazon truck passed a FedEx truck in our neighborhood. I wonder, you think those guys like each other or not? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, is it more of a boon? Which one is cooler, to be Amazon or to be
yeah,
FedEx?
I don't know.
Somebody could tell me if
question.
You actually know. You know, how does the hierarchy work of delivery? I don't know. Okay, have you guys ever heard of slacklining, Fred?
No.
Joe, nothing? Me neither.
No.
Okay, well, apparently it's really similar to tightrope walking. But it's not really a wire. It's flat webbing, and they can adjust the tension. So it's really close. So slacklining would, of course, show you that it's not super taut. It's just a little bit slack. All right. Well, over the weekend, these two, I personally think, insane German guys set a world record. What they did was send up two hot air balloons. And then they put one of these slack lines between them. Now, this is 1.5 miles in the air.
Oh, man.
And these two walked from one balloon to the other, not at the same time. But they set a new world record because of it. Just so you know, the old record was only 1.1 miles in the air. So,
you know,
slackers.
I won't even do a hot air balloon. I would definitely not do a slack line between two hot air balloons.
I haven't done that either. If there's video, if you want to go and Google it and watch it, it's disturbing to me. But that's because that would freak me out. Have you been in a hot air balloon, Joe? I have not.
No. Hot air balloon, helicopter, no thank you.
See, a helicopter's easy. That's enclosed to me.
I was very fearful of helicopters until I did one.
In Hawaii.
In Alaska.
Oh, Alaska,
we did an Alaska helicopter trip. And Sue said, don't worry, Fred. It's an easy liftoff.
Yes.
And it was great. It was amazing.
Joe, I think you could handle it. I flew in a helicopter for years just as a passenger doing traffic. And I'm telling you, the enclosed nature of that makes it fine. But the idea of going up in a balloon with, like, everything open around me, that's another deal.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm sure one of these days I'll do the helicopter over the falls, and that will be my helicopter ride. But I've heard from my boss here did traffic in the helicopter for years, and he says, he loves flying helicopters. I'm okay. I like planes. 747 and bigger, I'm good.
I'm telling you, they then brought in a plane, like a prop plane, and we did that after the helicopter got too expensive. It is not nearly the same. Helicopter, much better. Fred will witness for me.
I'm with you on that.
Okay. Well, Netflix is seeing rapid growth in its cheaper ad-supported option. Fred found me this story today.
Because it says cheaper. That's why.
Joe, Fred likes a deal. Yeah.
I do.
Oh, yeah.
It has now 70 million monthly active global users in its advertising tier. Did this convince you, Fred? Do you have Netflix with ads?
We do have Netflix. I don't know if it has ads because Marie watches most of the Netflix shows.
Oh, okay. What about you, Joe? Do you have Netflix with ads?
Yeah, Netflix is that's on Katie's list of bills. So I don't think if anything I get, you know, Peacock, anything I get is ad supported. Disney Plus, Hulu. I think Netflix. I think she pays the extra. But like Fred said, I don't watch. I mean, Columbo's not on Netflix. And Seinfeld.
Okay.
Seinfeld is. So I do watch Seinfeld on Netflix. But no, if it were up to me, I always get the cheapest version. Like Fred said, I always get ad supported. But I think my wife has the full Netflix package. We'll find out Friday for the Tyson fight.
Oh, there you go. Well, that really helped them out. I mean, they've gotten a lot more users because they launched this thing while facing Disney and Apple Plus, Amazon. They were really in the thick of it, and it really helped them out. Netflix, by the way, I didn't know this until I read this in the story. Did you know on Christmas Day it's Chiefs versus Steelers?
Yes.
And this is on Netflix and Ravens versus Texans. By the way, I worked at KZK one time. We had somebody call in and call it the Raven. So that's all I can refer to it as now. So the Raven and the Texans, and Netflix saying it's already sold out of all the available in-game inventory for both games.
Wow.
But if you are a fan of either of those, that's what's happening. And wrestling is also coming to Netflix with WWE Raw and the SmackDown debuting in January. See how I said that? Like I have any idea what those two things are. But yeah.
WWE Raw, that's a big one. And they got the Tyson fight, the Tyson-Jake Paul fight on Friday. So they are really jumping right into the sports field.
Man. Well, I'm sure it'll do well for them, too, especially if you got ads. People will think, well, how much is that? It can't be that bad. I'll join. All right, we've hit a point where if you're staring at a screen, you're probably staring at more than one. According to a poll out this week, the average Gen Zers check their phone 6 times during a TV show. Now, that's per episode. And it's not just young people. Millennials check their phone 5 to 6 times, Gen X 4 to 5, and even the baby boomers check it 3. Now, most people say they're watching a show or a movie at home. They're probably using their phone at the same time. 78% of young people say they are. 41% of baby boomers said, yes, they are. Fred, do you use your phone? Look at your phone during a show.
I do.
See? Joe?
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially Sundays. If I'm watching football on TV, I'm following my fantasy team on my phone.
Of course you are. Well, that sounds familiar in this room.
Yeah.
And here's something. I like to do at least one happy story on every day. But here's a good one from the weekend. An 88-year-old guy in Greece, 88, ran the Athens Marathon on Sunday. First of all, how cool would it be to run the Athens Marathon? The stuff you would see. Oh, my gosh. That might convince me to do 20. Well, no. Not like a half.
It?
Yeah. And improved on his time from last year. He finished in a respectable 6 hours and 31 minutes. His message to people is anything's possible if you just want it enough. There's the
beautiful,
cutest picture of him if you want to look him up. I just think that's awesome. All
I
right.
Love it.
And finally in Sue's news, we do have today's random fact. Okay. Okay, I did not know this. Tell me if you guys knew this. The Chicago Bulls drafted Carl Lewis in 1984 with the 208th pick, which was 205 picks after they drafted Michael Jordan the same year. But Lewis decided to stick with track and field.
I didn't know that.
I had no idea.
Never heard that, no.
I hadn't either. And that's it for Sue's news.
Well, thank you, Sue. Mm-hmm. I have to say, you mentioned the guy running the marathon. I am getting ready for the big 8K here in Buffalo called the Turkey Trot.
Love it.
And I run that every year. And I had the communications director from the YMCA, a good friend of mine, on this afternoon and getting ready for it. And I just cannot believe Thanksgiving is 16 days away and no better start. And this has been going on now for 130-some years, and that includes the pandemic, ladies and gentlemen. And it's the best start to Thanksgiving. It gives me an excuse to have that second helping of turkey.
I agree, too. It's hard to think of a Thanksgiving I didn't do a turkey trot.
Yeah, and we have several around here if you'd like to do that. It really does. Plus, it just makes you feel good in general and then better about eating more, which maybe just isn't so great. But you're right. It's a great start. Totally agree.
If I came...
Oh, no. We lost him. Traffic. Joe, sorry. Well, oh, there you are.
Yeah.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wait, I'm sorry. We're going in and out. If I ran the turkey trot in St. Louis, would that still count as my record? Could I string those with the Buffalo one and say,
oh, sure.
Oh,
I continue to do it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We got to make it. Get me a 97.1 shirt, guys, and I'll come to St. Louis and run.
I love it. Perfect.
Thank you so much. When we come back, we're talking with Thomas Frank. He is an author, and he wrote an opinion piece in the New York Times on the 9th, called The Elites Had It Coming. I read it, and we'll get his thoughts on his piece and what made him want to write this guest essay in the New York Times. When we come back, it's Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon on 97.1 FM Talk. Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon here on 97.1 FM Talk. Happy Tuesday to everybody. We are joined this segment by Thomas Frank. He is the author of What's the Matter with Kansas? Amongst other books, and he also wrote the guest essay in the New York Times November 9th, The Elites Had It Coming. Thomas, good afternoon.
Joe, how you doing?
Doing all right this Tuesday afternoon, and I have to say I read over your piece, and I found it very interesting, and I want to just, before I get into some specifics, the title is very simple, The Elites Had It Coming. It gives a great insight into what this is going to be about. And for the listeners out there, what did you mean, the elites had it coming?
Oh, well, for the last 40 years, the Democratic Party has been becoming slowly but surely the party of, highly educated, very well-to-do, white-collar people. They've been real open about this. And they have you drive around anywhere. So I'm from Kansas City originally. You drive around anywhere in that part of America outside of the city, and you're going to see like a civilization that is falling apart, and they have these people have no plans for how to help anybody. This is an elite that has deserved a rebuke for a long time. That's the big picture what I meant.
Tom, you mentioned the working class voters of the Democratic Party. I know people, I live in New York State, and I know people who voted for Bill Clinton. They were big Clinton supporters, and they actually supported Hillary when she was in the Senate here. But they have become Trump supporters, 20, 25 years later. And, you know, this is something that, as you said, I mean, you saw this starting to just a complete shift. People, the Republican Party of 2004 is not the Republican Party of 24. And the other way, I mean, the votes of the Democratic Party, so many people that made 100,000 or more. I mean, that's the Bush coalition. And you mentioned it in your piece how the Harris campaign embraced people like Dick Cheney because he endorsed her.
Yep, that's exactly right. And they followed the same strategy that they always follow, which is, and I'm going to reveal my liberal soul here, but they reach out to these sort of affluent Republican voters in the suburbs, like the kind of people that I grew up around, and they reach out to those people, and there's always fewer and fewer of them to be won over. But that's who they target. That's what they think these elections are all about. And surprise, surprise, their entire working class base, meanwhile, is moving over to moving the other direction. And it's it always astonishes them.
And you mentioned, you know, you in here talk about achievements of the Biden administration that you felt weren't voiced at all or voiced very little by the Harris campaign when it comes to trying to attract these working class voters.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been writing about this subject for a long time, for 20 years, as you pointed out. And I've, you know, there's been many, many books and articles on this subject. And only a handful of people in the Democratic Party, agree with me or have any inkling of what I'm talking about. But I think Biden, I was about to say is one of them, but Biden was one of those people. And you look at what he did on antitrust. Now, this was really promising. This was a really good move. Going after some of these gigantic corporations that use market power to ruin their competitors, to ruin small business. Yeah, that was a good move, Joe Biden. They mentioned it maybe once at the Democratic convention, maybe once, and I never heard about it. And that's I only know that because I was sitting there, right? And after that, they never mentioned it at all. He did a lot of outreach to organized labor, which was very refreshing. You haven't seen a Democrat do that in some time. But, you know, so did the Republicans. If you were at the Republican convention, they had the president of the Teamsters there. So, you know, the way I look at the Biden administration is there were baby steps in the right direction, in the direction that the party has to go. But they were, you know, completely forgotten by the time the election rolled around, much, you know, overwhelmed by inflation, by the issue of Biden's age, et cetera, you know, all the culture war stuff. So a great missed opportunity. And I sometimes think of Biden as kind of, well, when I'm in a good mood, I think of him as kind of a tragic, you know, figure out of Shakespeare.
So, Tom, let me ask you, because you said the elites should have seen it coming. What was your reaction on Tuesday night?
I wasn't surprised. I mean, this is, well, I, you know, I've been keeping my mouth shut for a couple of years because I'm working on different stuff nowadays. So I don't write about this stuff anymore. But look, one thing we know about Donald Trump's support is that the polls always get it wrong. They always underestimate his support. So if the polls are showing him neck and neck, then he's got it in the bag, right? I was surprised that he won the popular vote as well, and that gives him a mandate, and it looks a lot like what he wanted it to look like, which is Reagan versus Carter in 1980. You know, that's certainly what Trump had in mind. And, you know, he was right about that.
So, Tom, you know, your essay here, I mean, really, if I'm a Democratic strategist or I'm putting a campaign together, this is kind of a blueprint of what to avoid. What is your message? How do you pick up the Democrat Party right now? To me, reminds me of the Republican Party in 08. I mean, just complete, as you said, mandate, no control, really, in D.C.
No
if you're
leader.
The Democratic Party, no. You have midterms in 26. How does the party change its messaging in these next 2 years?
Well, we know what they have to do, but we also know that they're not going to do it, right? So I've studied the Democratic Party for a long time, and they have an ideology. You mentioned Clinton earlier. Clinton had a way of looking at the world where it was all about
people with, it was all about getting, going to a good school and getting a fancy degree of some kind. And then the world would smile upon you and you would make your fortune or whatever. And he had very little sympathy for anybody else. And so he deregulated, he deregulated the Wall Street banks. You know about this, you're in radio. He deregulated telecom and he got these trade agreements passed, which were extremely controversial at the time because his own supporters were saying, please don't do this. It will ruin our way of life. And he said, well, yeah, but that way of life is manufacturing. You know, history has passed it by. Globalism has passed it by. And the Democrats to this day are in love with that ideology. And I would include Barack Obama in here. I would include, you know, Hillary, certainly, and most of the, you know, the people who are the leaders of the party. That ideology has been completely discredited and lies in ruins on the floor. But it's really, really difficult to move them away for it because that ideology is also really flattering to a certain class of people. They like to believe it. It makes them feel good about themselves. And so it's really, really hard to, I think it's going to be impossible to move them off of that.
You know, this might be a redundant question, but looking to 2028, I mean, I realize that Trump hasn't even taken office yet, but looking into 2028, I mean, do you have a candidate that fits that messaging, a candidate that is that more working class candidate that you think the Democrats should get their support behind?
No, I don't. I'm not, like I say, I haven't been following it all that closely. Right. The guys that I really admire are either, elderly or they just went down to defeat. So I don't have any candidates in mind. But I think one of two things is going to happen. I think if Trump really does what he talked about so much, you know, across the board tariffs and mass deportation, I think he'll wander into a bad recession. And in that case, it won't really matter. The Democrats will come roaring back. But if Trump, you know, plays his cards well, and, you know, he's inherited from Biden a pretty good base on which to build. If he plays his cards well, he's going to have a roaring economy, and he's going to have, and whoever follows him is going to have no trouble at all. That's what I think. That's where I think we're going.
All right. Thomas Frank, the author of What's the Matter with Kansas, and wrote the guest essay, The Elites Had It Coming, in the New York Times. I suggest you check it out. Thomas, thank you so much for spending some time with me this afternoon.
Hey, my pleasure, Joe.
And it's very rare that I would say go read something in the New York Times. But I found it, as someone, as you heard, someone who is obviously politically, we do not think the same. But he writes some truths about the Democratic Party. And as I said, I'm sitting here on the sidelines on the other side watching the Democrat Party, the infighting, not being able to see why they lost this election. I look at what Thomas Franks wrote, and I'm like, yeah, you know what? He makes some really good points. Again, I have no problem with the Democrat Party keep the infighting and Republicans gain more seats in the midterms. But then there's also the part of me that thinks it's best for America to have a more competitive political landscape. So very interesting read, and I suggest you go and look at it. It's interesting to see what liberals think the Democratic Party did wrong. It's very interesting. I always say it's interesting to see the other side and see things from the other side. And it's a little easier to see things from the other side when your side is going to be completely in control in Washington, D.C. So that was very interesting. Again, Thomas Franks, the elites have it coming, the guest essay in the New York Times. When we come back, we're talking to Florissant Police Chief Troy Doyle, updating the condition of Officer Travis Brown. That is after this. Beamer in for Reardon on 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back. Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon here on 97.1 FM Talk. And we are joined this segment by Florissant Police Chief Troy Doyle. Troy, good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Beamer? And it's all the Ferguson Police Department.
Ah, yes. And sorry about that. Troy, there is an update on the condition of Officer Travis Brown. As we remember, 3 months ago, he suffered a severe brain injury during the Michael Brown 10th anniversary protest. And Troy, what is the update of his condition?
Before I tell you that, Mr. Beamer, let me just say this. You know, I want to thank you all, 97.1. You guys have been keeping this story alive since the day of this incident. And I know the family is very appreciative of that, along with the police department. But to answer your question, today was a good day for us. Travis was able to be given a hero's escort from SLU Hospital to Spirit Airport, where he'll be transported to a rehab hospital in Atlanta, Georgia, that specialized in his type of injury.
And it was very, very moving to see the streets lined as he was transported. And now we did have news that he's alert. And what will he be receiving in Atlanta? What are the next steps in his recovery?
So obviously he suffered a severe brain injury, and I'm not a medical doctor, but the rehab center that he's going to, I believe it's Shepherd's down there in Atlanta, Georgia, they specialize in those sort of injuries. The goal is to hopefully that, you know, he's able to get receive a full recovery and come back home there.
What have these last 3 months been like? What kind of, you know, obviously the support you guys have been receiving from members of the community, but obviously, you know, you have to go and still do your jobs and defend the community, but I'm sure this is weighing heavy in the back of everyone's mind.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, while we still, you know, these men and women on this police department continue to answer the calls daily, they also got the in the back of their mind their colleague, you know, who was severely injured. So that's constantly weighing on our mind. But, you know, the support, again, that we have received from the community, our business community out here in Ferguson, has been overwhelming. And that has helped at least comfort us to a certain degree in getting our jobs done.
You know, I hate to bring you back to 3 months ago, but, you know, the protest and Mr. Brown, Officer Brown, was hit at the protest and hit his head to the pavement. Obviously, in the middle of, you know, the protest, there's this chaos. Just take us back to that day and what that was like.
You know, it's a tough memory, but, you know, essentially, you know, we knew that the 10th year anniversary was planned. I mean, they plan this, you know, every year. 10th year was supposed to be a big year. And we pre-planned for it again, knowing that we would get individuals that would show up. What took place was what, for the most part, disturbed me, was that, you know, when the protesters did show up, they took the streets. Some cars nearly hit some of the protesters because they were obviously aggravated with them blocking the street. But I took some officers to block off the street so the protesters couldn't get hit by the vehicles. By doing that, you know, obviously, you know, it brought more people out in the middle of the street. Shortly thereafter, they began trying to tear down our fence that we erected up at the police department. And people would ask, you know, why would you guys have a fence up at the police department? And I would challenge people to go look at the last 3 or 2 years of protest in Ferguson and see what they tried to do to our police department. So this year we want to have something as a barrier to try to prevent, you know, these individuals from not only turn our police department up, but trying to burn it down. Once they started trying to damage the fence, we have sent an arrest team out there. And once the arrest team came out, and that's when the chaos started.
Well, Troy, Police Chief Troy Doyle, I have to say, obviously, our thoughts and prayers are with Officer Brown, not only him, with his family. I know when the plane took off today, his mother could be seen waving, and the family was commenting on it's been 3 very long months. Obviously, we are all praying for a full recovery. And again, our thoughts and prayers, not only with him, with his family, but with you guys, because I know you guys have to go and defend every day, put yourselves out on the line while, you know, you have Officer Brown recovering and probably, you know, replaying in your heads. And we just thank you so much for your service. And again, anything, any update, please come back and give us the full update. We hope to hear of a full recovery very soon.
Yes, Mr. Beamer, thank you for that. I appreciate that. And while we're extremely happy that Travis is hopefully on his way to recovery, I'm still not losing focus on the individuals that caused this tragedy.
God bless you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is Ferguson Police Chief Troy Doyle updating the condition of Officer Travis Bowden. Very promising, right? Being transported to Atlanta. He has regained consciousness after that terrible incident at the protest. And we see how these protests get. We see how violent these protests have gotten, right? And I mean, just awful. I was reading up on it this morning. And like I said, so happy to hear that Officer Brown has regained consciousness, that he is on this path to a full recovery. But as Police Chief Doyle said, you can't lose focus on the people who did this. You know, there's a peaceful protest and then there's a violent protest. And this was a violent protest. I mean, you had a protester tackle Officer Brown like a football tackle and smash his head into pavement. And, you know, just thank God that he is on a path, hopefully, to a full recovery. And God bless the men and women who put themselves, their lives on the line every day to protect this community. And you've got people like this protester who want to cause chaos, want to cause violence. And then you have politicians out there saying that we should defund the police. It's absolutely disgusting. So God bless Officer Doyle. God bless, Police Chief Doyle. God bless Travis Brown. And I hope that I'm on the air here talking about his full recovery very, very soon. And God bless his family as well. I know they've been through hell the last 3 months. When we come back, we'll be joined by Chris Klemm. He is a former Yuma Sector Border Patrol Chief. He's going to talk about the new border czar that Trump named this week. We'll get his thoughts from that. And then later, talking about EPA transition and Lee Zeldin. By the way, Lee Zeldin, someone I interviewed when he was running for governor here in New York. We'll talk about his appointment to the EPA in the 525 segment. It is Beamer and Ferriden. Great to be with you on this Tuesday afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.